Hey, what's up? It's John Kizzy. You know who Izzy, aka Philly Jeep, because they know who I be. And I'm here with King Tigger.
What's up?
Today we have two special guests, the creators of an upcoming film, Buddy Wild. Mm-hmm. We have Leanne Milne and Mark Sawatsky.
Nice.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. I said the name like 1,800 times. I got it right. No, see? I was like, I made eye contact so that they could tell me.
Sure, I felt it. Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Wait for it. No, I got it right. Okay. Now I'll probably never get it right again.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're here to talk about everything from what bringing them to where they are to what's the future as the whole.
Definitely.
So, first, I'll let you guys introduce yourselves a little bit before I start asking any questions.
Okay. Who do you want?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go first. I'm Mark Sawatsky, and I'm a videographer, I guess you could say, and I just started out like making typical videographer videos, like wedding videos and like little business videos and stuff like that. And then I ended up making a music video one day, and I became friends with Pat Stay, and then we just started making other types of content, and it kind of escalated from there. And I'd say, like, really, I wouldn't have ever really considered myself as part of the film industry or like the film industry. I would have just said like a videographer or whatever before, until that project. That was kind of the film industry, as you'd say.
For someone that doesn't know, like myself, what's the difference between like a videographer and I guess a director?
Well, I mean, there's sort of a little like difference between being like a one-man band videographer and then being like on a set with a crew where like there's a director who doesn't really shoot.
Gotcha.
So a videographer, I guess, is like a videographer for sure knows how to operate a camera. Usually a director would too, but like, you know, there's a chance that maybe a director doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Mm. Cool.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, and for me, I guess when it comes to filmography and videography, it's something I've always done, but never anything professionally. I shot a music video for you guys in, 2005 that I never finished?
Yeah. I was still waiting. I know, I was going to ask. I was going to ask about that, too.
So I've always dabbled in some sort of way. And I'm on YouTube as well, but that's talking about alcohol recovery.
Okay.
And then just random little projects, like I was on the SwearNut show that Mark and Pat created, just as background and like getting more into things that way. And then Mark and I created something else after that, and now we're making a movie together. So I'm slowly getting more into more, not professional level filmmaking, but like more serious, more focused around that. But generally, I do engineering in the daytime. Really, that's me, I guess. Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's real good.
Yeah.
So, I guess you already explained how you got into it, and I guess to a lesser degree, you explained how you got into it too.
Yeah.
She didn't do as good. Like, but,
you know. She dabbles.
I dabble in filmography.
Really? Yeah. It's whenever I would feel the spark of inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, let's make a video. Let's do something. So, ever since video cameras were a thing.
Yeah.
Done something like 97. No, what was it? Like 1992 was my first little short film I made when I was like a child. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
she didn't want to make us feel old.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say an age.
I know. Yeah. I mean, my mind, I'm just 2000 something.
Yeah.
Seem a lot younger.
Yeah.
I think Leanne's just an artist at the core of it. Like, Leanne's just an artist, and right now, the medium happens to be narrative filmmaking.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Exactly. Whatever you get inspired by at the time.
Pretty much.
Thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did like painting it, but like it just doesn't speak to me the way acting or filmmaking or visual arts that is what makes my soul happy. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like that stuff too. I'm always impressed at how filmmakers can do that because, like, you know, I did music. So mm-hmm. I was always a writer because mm-hmm. I like telling stories. Even now with my kids, I run a Dungeons & Dragons campaign with them and I write the story. So that's why I always like seeing when people, local people, are making movies and stuff, because just bringing the story from pen and paper to visuals and film.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's always going to be an audience out there for whatever story anyone has.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. like you sort of have to not care how many people or whatever would like your story. If you have a story inside, you got to get it out, yeah. even if yeah. it's just for you.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Hmm. I gotta get you gotta get more of that not care.
So, well, that's a lot of that self healing too, right? So yeah. getting that story out just for you, so people can hear mm-hmm. what you have to say, express what you have to say. And again, it could be just for you, but someone else might be going through the exact same thing that you're going through, yeah. so that might help them too, right? So,
exactly, it's a bonus.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a bonus. Yeah.
And also,
definitely.
Just like with music, it feels more genuine. People yeah. gravitate it to more because you're doing it for you. You're not doing it mm-hmm. to sell it.
Mm-hmm. You're doing 100%.
You're doing it because this is something that you feel you want to get out.
Yes, 100%.
Like you said, even if you just film it to keep on your own laptop and no one else see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it gets out there. People will see that and be like, oh, mm-hmm. this is cool. Mm-hmm. And go mm-hmm. towards it.
Yeah. When people feel that your motivation is the project, not the reward,
mm-hmm. yes.
it comes off so strongly in the work.
Yes. Yeah. And people, a lot of people think you can't tell, but people can tell.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. People can definitely
oh, yeah.
tell.
Oh, yeah. Like Leanne and I will sit and like watch movies like that are just absolute trash, but they're like really high budget, right? So like everything about these movies is technically perfect, mm-hmm. except for there's just these indescribable subconscious elements of like, you can really tell these people were just making this as the next movie they're making for money.
It has yeah. no soul.
No heart, yeah. exactly.
Yeah, you yeah. can tell it's just like, it's like they take like the ingredients of what should make a movie work mm-hmm. and just put it in the pot and then yep. throw it on screen.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I think that we don't know, but we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about I almost said reasonable.
Yeah.
He's total opposite.
Yeah, he's a pretty reasonable guy.
Yeah, reasonable Rob. As I've seen it on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
So I didn't see the SwearNet stuff.
Yeah, that a lot of people like will say that too. Like they're like, yeah, I've seen Unreasonable Rob because they've seen the YouTube ones mm-hmm. that Pat and I made together. But yeah, there is a full season of, I guess you could say, like they're funded episodes on SwearNet. So they're streaming on SwearNet. What a lot of people did when it came out is they just got the trial
and then,
just binged it and then yeah. But I mean, there's other stuff on SwearNet too. Like that's, you know, if that's your type of thing, if you're a big Trailer Park Boys fan, like Trailer Park Boys, everything they've done is on there, and some of the spin-offs with the other characters are on there.
So is SwearNet? For someone that doesn't know anything about SwearNet, you want to explain it to me?
Well, SwearNet is like the Trailer Park Boys universe. Okay. So it's like SwearNet Studios, and they. A lot of the characters, like, from Trailer Park Boys have their own little shows on there. And there's other new, like, they make original content. Like, they make, like, there's movies on there that they just made that have nothing to do with the Trailer Park Boys universe.
Okay, that's dope. Mm-hmm. And is it, it's a website or is it an app as well?
It's both.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So it's, like, just, like, their own streaming platform kind of thing.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. There you go. Go check it out.
SwearNet.
Yep. See what's on. I'm
like
gonna.
The name
I'm gonna check. I know. Yeah. Yeah. I like swear. I like it too.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a lot of cussing.
There is.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. Definitely down with that. So, seeing your guys' 48-hour film, 17 Bricks.
Yes.
That was a. It was funny.
Thank you.
Interesting. From the minute, like, from the first minutes when it comes out, you know, with the card reading, I was like, I didn't know what this was going to be. But then when Nathan comes on.
Yeah.
Just.
Oh, he's a
phenom. Yeah.
Nathan's a phenom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel so fortunate, like, to be making art with Nathan. Because, like, it's almost like I just have to point a camera at him, and it's like, he's a supernova.
Yeah.
Like, I think he is going to be the next big thing. Like, it's like staring into the sun. Like, I barely need to direct him.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I liked the behind the scenes, seeing when he was trying to do that with the eyebrows.
Yeah. And, oh, man. Yes,
yeah, being at home watching it, doing all this, I was like, I can do it. Yes. Come on, you can do this.
He couldn't.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, man. But it comes off better sometimes. Like, if he can't do it, it will just come off better. It's, he's amazing. He's the best.
And the fight scenes.
Yes. Yeah, yes. He's just down for everything. Like, he's down for everything. Like, even on that 48-hour project, we're like, Nathan, we're making a 48-hour film. Like, we need you to be in it. Like, come down. And then I was like, okay, I have, like, this vision for how your hair is going to be. So we're going to, like, completely change your hair for this project.
Whose idea was it to paint on abs?
One of the makeup people that was there, they had the idea, like, to do the abs on him, right?
I think so.
I was like, how bad? Is it going to look super corny? And, like, I was concerned about it. Yeah,
it was good. A lot of it rubbed off near throughout. Yeah,
in the end, it just made it funnier.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hilarious when your abs rub off.
Yeah, exactly. Abs. Yeah. But no, that was so much fun. And yeah, it was literally 48 hours from conception until we had to press submit and have that sent off. So it turned out great.
Yeah, especially with the hurricane because we didn't have power on the first day.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
Our locations fell through. We were going to go to all these different places. So we ended up having to like think really quick and decided to film like in... It all worked out though,
basically. I forget where... I know that you ended in the parkade because you couldn't get... Where was the... original location?
We originally wanted to do it in the arcade on Godigen Street, the Propeller Arcade.
Okay.
Yeah, but they lost power too, so we're
like scrambling, and we were like, okay, well, where can we get something that's another arcade? And then we were calling bowling alleys, and like we just tell them about the project, and like we actually got one of them to agree, and then like they called us back a few minutes later, and they're like, we lost power too. And I was like, ah,
man, 48 hours in a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a story in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
It was. Oh, well, the making of 17 Bricks.
Yeah,
that told the story, of how crazy it was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So will you say that was the inspiration behind it, for sure? Or what was your inspiration for the story?
Between her for 17 Bricks, you mean?
They make you draw it out. I wrote it overnight on the first night. But, they forced you, into a genre and, certain elements. Like, the character names, those are all randomly decided. Okay. So they just put that on you.
Yeah. Everyone who's in the contest learns that we, at the same time, we all go on a Zoom call. And they say, your team, this is your character, this is all this. And then you have to, write a script, then. So he did. Yeah. He squirreled off somewhere and just wrote it all out in a notebook, and we're like, okay, let's go.
Wow.
I was just like hoping, like when we were drawing the genre, I was like, not musical, not musical, not musical.
Yeah. That would have been a tough one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it would have.
Oh yeah.
Because that's writing songs and 48 hours.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Man.
Right. So.
Yeah, it's definitely an unfairly difficult genre. Yeah. That one.
Mm-hmm. And you guys won 4 awards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we had, it was best cinematography, best directing, best original character, or best use of character,
and best original
music. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to ask. All the music was original?
We worked with Daniel Ryan Dano. So we went down there and so it's there's samples and stuff, but we composed it, I guess you could say.
Because that's one thing. That's one thing. I noticed a lot. But one thing, because I'm musically inclined, that really stood out to me was the music. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
It was just cool. All the music fit. Every scene, the hilarity,
thank you.
His sister.
Yeah. Like actually the one track that we had in the car, when they're listening to that music, that was off of Lil Witchy's album. Yeah. Cause Lil Witchy was in the film as my henchman. He's the guy that's in the arcade. I don't think he ever talks.
No, he doesn't.
No, he never talks.
The container peer, he would have been one of the guys with the gun.
Yeah, he's the guy that walks over and punches the guy in the
Yeah. Okay. So okay. That was his track.
He plays this like crazy, or he does his music is like, what is it called again?
I can't remember.
Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, it's like, it's like
niche, very niche.
Yeah. It's like, I guess kids like listen to it these days or something, but it's like
his own genre.
I say niche, but it isn't. It's huge. Like, he has a lot of followers. Like, okay. He's pretty
it's like
big.
Weird. It's like strange and like sped up and like. It's really chaotic. I loved it though. I laughed so hard. Like, when I was thinking about like, okay, so this guy just drives around and listens to this stuff like while he's solving crimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then didn't he like hush her and like turn up the volume?
Wasn't it? Yeah, that's right.
Oh my god, so good. Yeah.
And what's the artist's name again?
Lil Witchy. Lil Witchy. Shout out Lil Witchy. Yeah, he's got quite a following, I think.
He does.
He's local?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's on Spotify. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Lil Witchy. All right.
Yeah, he's great.
Lil Witchy.
Yeah. Shout out.
Come on over.
Yeah.
I'm going to check him out.
Definitely check you out.
I always check out local stuff.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Just the.
Yeah, Lil Witchy was in like the original like Unreasonable Robs on YouTube, like in a couple episodes as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
The cool thing about like the 48 hour project is it kind of like led to us doing Buddy Wild. It was like.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Kind of like I guess. Heard that. If you want to talk about that, I've been talking a lot.
It's okay. yeah. So. 48 hour film project wrapped up like the end of September, and my 40th birthday was coming. Oh, sorry, I told everyone our age. I don't know. Anyway, my 40th was coming up in November, so I was like, I wanted to make a film. I wanted to do. I was like, I'll just do another short film because I made a short film like a couple years ago in this cabin in the woods. It's called Sister, and it was great. I was like, I want to do something else like that, but I want like a spooky, scary horror story type thing. So I was saying to Mark, I was like. And we were driving back home from the award ceremony for 48. Anyway, and I was like, I want to do something. Like, do you want to get, like, let's make something. And then it was pretty much born there. And then we found this, you can talk about this, because you found it. He found this video online, which really got us talking about it. But that was the initial where I was like, let's make something cool for my birthday. We ended up filming on my birthday weekend, too, in the cabin. But the origin for it all was from this video that you found online. Yeah.
The witch. I'll bring up the witch video, but like basically when I finished Unreasonable Rob, like Pat and I edited together like everything, like even when we were doing it on YouTube, like I was shooting it. We would write it together. And then like I would get like other videographers like to come do other angles, and like then me and Pat would sit and like edit forever. Like the editing process was such a huge like part of it. And so we were doing the same thing for the season on SwearNet. Like me and Pat and I were editing that, and we were in the middle of editing it like when he passed away. And so like I was kind of in a position where I just needed to like sort of like sit beside his empty chair and like keep editing like it until it was done. So it was like, it was really hard on the head. Like, and after it was done, like I just wasn't doing, like I just went home and like didn't do pretty much like anything. Like I just like was sitting around and like not feeling creative and like just in like a really bad headspace. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Stay Day, which was like this like annual like get together like with Pat's friends and stuff, and while I was there, like I saw like a bunch of the people that like we used to shoot with, and like they kind of came up to me, like a couple of them came up to me and they were like, hey, like we would love if you would like be interested in shooting like for like this 48 hour film contest, like. And I just, like, the mood, like, or whatever, and, like, the moment just struck me, and I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then I committed to it, and then I did it, and it just, like, it felt so good, like, to get back into it. Like, even though it was just, like, a little 48-hour thing, it was like, okay, like, I can keep going. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and so, I wrote it, and, like, we we got it done, and then Leanne's birthday was right around the corner, kind of thing, like in the next couple months, and she wanted to make a film, and I was like, you know what, like we could. I just feeling really ambitious after it, and I was like, we could make a she was thinking about a short film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because she, I guess, rents this cabin in the woods for a week every year on her birthday. And I was like, we could make it a feature film.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
I was, because we just made something that, like, I'm happy with, I think is entertaining, and our original cut was 12 minutes long. Like, and I was like, well, it's literally like we make 7 or 8 of those, like, and we're feature film territory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we went into the cabin, and and then the idea for, like, the like, it was like, okay, let's make a horror film, right? And this project has evolved as we're making it to a very large degree. Like, it's, you can't even really, it's really hard to say what genre it is, because at some time, like, at some points in the film, it's a really new school kind of A24 feeling horror movie, because we were very influenced by the movie The Witch, and the idea for, like, the character being the witch was that story from BC that was, like, on the news in the States, and, like, it made the news cycle of, like, this woman that, like, found a dead deer, like, in the woods, and was like, oh, let's put a trail cam out, like, to see, like, what cool animals are going to come and eat the dead deer.
What the hell?
Yeah. This is a real thing that happened.
Oh, yeah, this is a real thing. This is, like...
A couple years ago in the news.
Okay. No. It was this past summer.
No.
Yes, it was. In July.
I thought it was, like, 2019 or something.
No. It was this past summer in July.
Okay.
So they find this dead deer in the woods. They put the trail cam out, like, to see what animal comes and eats it. And this, like, absolutely, like, crazed... naked woman.
They
caught it on the trail cam with, like, long like black hair, like, I mean, like, this is a Disney witch that, like lives in, but, like, scarier even, like, and that, like, lives in the wilderness, like, this was in BC.
And I'm staying away from BC,
right?
Oh,
it was like a mystery, like, so who are these people?
So scary, and it was, like, so scary that, like, it was, like, even on the news, like, throughout the States.
Did she take the deer, or did she eat it?
She was eating the dead raw
deer.
Literally,
crouched down and, like, eating it.
Yeah.
Wearing, like, a loincloth and, like, long black hair.
Yes.
And so, like, Google it. You can see the picture.
It's, like,
or the trail cam
terrifying.
Footage.
Yeah, it's like,
great.
Absolutely terrifying.
It's so scary.
Yeah, so I was like, so we've got this actor friend, Frank Kirby, and he's, like, a 73-year-old man. And we put, like, a long black wig from, like, the Halloween store on him. And, like, Leanne basically just, like, made him up to look like this, like, scary witch from the
trail
woods.
Cam.
And then, like, we brought Nathan in on the film. And I was like, so you're going to be kind of this mentally challenged, nonverbal character. And, like...
But a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold.
Yeah.
And there's just so many elements. Like, I'm really inspired by Wes Anderson. Like, how he... has a lot of surrealism, like, in his films, but at the same time, they're hitting on these, like, really profound emotional family and relationship issues. But, like, the way that he speaks on it is through these worlds of surrealism. So there's a lot of that going on. Like, if you like Dungeons & Dragons, you'll like Buddy Wild, because there's, like, elements of magic
There's fantasy in there.
There's fantasy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
There's a lot. It's very heavy on visual effects, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think one thing that, like, if we do, hopefully we get it done in time to get into the film festival
this year.
The Atlantic Film Festival. I think one thing that's going to really stand out about our film in that festival is the visual effects.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Love good visual effects.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Man, shit, I'm tripping over this lady.
But it was not.
It's crazy.
And so, because that was the inspiration. So we were like, okay, we need to incorporate that kind of witch character.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, it's usually a woman. So we're like, who do we know any? We were thinking, like, a couple women would be maybe, maybe we'd make a gang of women.
You wanted to make them sexy.
Yes.
I was like,
should I be one of the, I can be naked. Like, why not? I was like, I guess I can be naked for this. And he's like, no, they have to be more scary, not womanly. But I kept going back to, like, it needs to be feminine. It needs to be like womanly, naked. He's like, no, Leanne, stop. It doesn't, we don't need naked ladies. Like, so
we'll just find to see naked ladies.
I like, we'll just find some girls, like, just, we'll just shoot them naked in the wood. And like, no. So we just went a completely different direction with that. And I'm glad we went the direction we went because it's way scarier.
Yeah. And
I wonder how much of a movie, how much does it have to be based on a true story to be able to say it's based on a true story?
Good question.
I think you can just say it and then just deal with the fallout. Like, I'm planning, I should say, the only thing that's not true is, I guess, like, you know, Buddy and, like, the, but I mean, like, the villain is based on true. So maybe there is, maybe there is something that we can say, like, at the beginning. And I was actually thinking when we were brainstorming ways about how we were going to, like, promote the film, because, like, you got to be really innovative, like, with promoting the film, and we don't, especially us, because, like, we self-funded the movie. Like, we're doing everything and calling in favors for everything. So one thing that I thought would be kind of cool if we could spend, like, a little bit of money on at the end is if we get the film done in time to run an ad in this town in BC where the witch was caught on the trail. Okay, hear me out.
Just wait.
Okay, so we run an ad in that town being like, hey, like, the witch was never found. But I was like, like, if you or someone you know knows who the witch in the woods is, I will
pay. We'll fly you out.
I'll pay for you to fly to Halifax, stay in a nice hotel, and I'll get you, like, a VIP, like, pass to the film festival, and all your food is going to be included. Like, it's going to be like a vacation.
Now, did you say someone that knows the witch? Or are you inviting the witch?
It has to be the witch.
Though a woman in that trail.
Maybe we'll put maybe we'll put like there's some kind of like reward or something, like if some if like leads to it. But at the end of the day, the goal is that we get the witch to the festival.
We want
to
know what was up. Like, what were you doing?
Eating the shit.
She's not gonna eat me. No, I'm not a dead deer.
That's crazy. Like, I know I told you before.
So insane, right?
I'm down with anybody Canadian coming on the podcast.
I
don't know if I want the witch up here.
Well, dude, really? So if we find
Skype. You're going to be a Skype. I'll talk to the witch all day.
You want to put her on the cast. We get a cage or something, put her in there, you know.
I mean,
Skype.
Just hire a security person.
Well,
I don't even know.
Or do you think she, do you believe in magic?
I think that the security person would have to be a more powerful witch.
We don't even know if like if they're into anything. Like, they could just be wild. We don't know.
It's either like a real witch, or it's like somebody that's just like absolutely like their mind is completely blown from bath salts, and like they were eating a dead raw deer. But like, I mean, either way,
that's true.
It
could be a witch from BC, or it could have been someone from Florida on vacation.
When did that story come about?
July.
Okay, so it wasn't near Halloween, so shit.
No, right? No,
it wasn't a costume.
It wasn't a costume party.
Someone took something bad and just...
No, I'm telling you, it could have been someone from Florida. It gets hot down there.
Come all the way to D.C.?
To eat a dead deer, like in the middle of the woods with your ass hanging out? I don't know.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I just know.
It's something else.
She got to be in a cage. She come on here, bro. I ain't dealing with that.
She's going on Skype.
Well, I want to know these people. Like.
She doesn't even speak. She just screams.
That'd be fucked up to see.
It'd be so shocking, right? Yeah. Like, she comes up, like, to bring that... To just for actually finding out who that is.
Yeah.
And then revealing the mystery, bringing them to the film festival, because it was all on the news cycle in the States.
Probably pretty as hell.
It would blow it.
Yeah, right? Oh, not like,
I want it to be just someone normal. Someone contact you guy. Oh, that's Aunt Mary. She'd always be doing that.
I'm sober now. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I wasn't.
Yeah, so who knows? So we just want to, well, we'll try. Yeah. Probably. Just to see what happens. Really?
That is.
So, I always say horror movies are inspired by something.
Well, that was
true.
That's it.
All right. So,
man, BC.
That's it.
I guess it's about 2% got to be based on real life. That's the 2%.
Yeah.
We've seen the footage. Yeah. She was eating a dead deer carcass.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That is
pretty much that's the origin, I guess. Yeah, and then we built the story around that.
We originally planned to build the story about that, but it became like much more much more of a story about Buddy and his aunt. Yes. Like Leanne actually plays one of the main characters, which is Buddy's aunt. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's actually like a moral to the film, like. The witch is kind of a euphemism for alcoholism.
Okay.
So, I mean, some people may pick up on that and some people won't. It's kind of subliminal.
Okay.
But, like, for example, like, there's a scene, and I was actually saying to Leanne, like, we should even, like, just give you guys that scene to look at, like, on the podcast. But anyway, maybe we'll have to have that discussion after.
Yeah.
Like, if we give you guys a scene just to show you what we mean.
Right.
Okay.
But, like, this character is, like, he's always, like he's drinking in the diner. And then, like, after we show him, like, getting killed by the witch. And then, like, we have other, like, scenes where, like, your character is, like, a recovered alcoholic.
Recovering.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. Buddy's mother, like, her sister is actively an alcoholic. Like, she's, like, basically waking up in the morning and, like, drinking on her way to a job interview kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she just loses her mind, like, at the beginning of the movie because Buddy is, like... played by Nathan. He's, like, special needs kind of thing, but, like, it's not based on any real condition.
Okay.
Like, it's just, like...
He's nonverbal.
Yeah, he's nonverbal, and, like, the audience is kind of left to wonder. Mm-hmm. Like, he presents all sorts of different symptoms that are not really based on any, like, real condition.
I gotcha.
So he, like, collects little toy animals and, like, speaks to them and, like, arranges them in, like, menagerie and, like, that kind of thing. And his mom, like, is just really stressed out. She's a single mother and, like, she's late on her rent and about to get evicted and, like, she's running around, like, drinking and stuff, and she steps on, like, one of Buddy's, like, special animals. And then he's, like, totally basically oblivious, like, to the world around him. Sometimes we go into Buddy's perspective and with sound design and stuff, right, to just the world just drowns out, like, when he's talking to these little animals. So there's a very special, strong bond, like, that's built between him and this small animal. And then she just kind of, in passing and accidentally comes by and steps on it. And then he just has, like, a complete, like, psychological meltdown, like, over this animal being destroyed. And then he runs out of the house, and then she's just having this absolute breakdown because she can't pull herself together enough to even go get him. So she doesn't know where he is. He's just run out of the house, and she doesn't know if he's safe or what. So she pulls out her phone, which is not really a phone because it's like kind of a steampunk surrealism to it. It's like this big device thing that they use, that the characters use to communicate. But she calls Leanne's character, which is Charlie, and Charlie is out in the woods hunting because that's
hunter.
All she does.
Yes.
Yeah, she's like this ultra redneck, right?
Yeah.
That's like she's a veteran and like she hunts these mythical beasts called chupacabras.
Yes. Yeah. Choopies.
Yeah, choopies. Yeah. Yeah, which are a real animal in this universe.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and so she says, like, I can't take care of Buddy anymore. Like, I need help. Like, can you find him? So then Leanne goes and finds Buddy and realizes that she needs to take care of him. So he just basically is a ride-along as Leanne, like, or Charlie, her character, does, like, goes hunting and takes him out to different places and tries to teach him about life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. So that's all in the beginning. And then the rest of it is just basically me and Buddy out in that cabin in the woods and scary things ensue.
Yeah. The witch begins stalking them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, with the parallels between the witch and like addiction and alcoholism, some people will pick up on, some people won't. But we are putting that into almost in any way that we can where, you know, addiction seems to be overtaking this town and like taking men from their children, you know, taking making it so that you're not the same person anymore.
Right,
same
right,
with
right.
alcoholism, all that kind of stuff. So it's like it's taking over a town type thing, but really it's a witch. So like not a witch, like a demon entity type thing, but yeah, we're using that to mean addiction basically.
Yeah,
okay. So
people's demons kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And like the witch has interesting, like, sort of biological feeling, magical powers as well.
But it's not going to be too fantastic. It's going to be still organic. Like, even though it sounds fantasy and it sounds like magical and all that, mm-hmm. but it's still going to feel grounded. It's not going to be once, you know?
So
like,
what genre would you say? Because it's like,
horror, fantasy.
It's all over the place.
Is that like with a more of a drama?
Yeah.
And then you get the fantasy.
Psychological.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
They made their own shit.
It's its own genre.
It's almost like the film changes genres scene to scene, because we can have the scene where the drunk guy gets killed is just like classic. It's like the classic. He's right behind you, like kind of like horror build up. And they're just all really cinematic compositions, and like everything is like, oh man, like it's pure horror. And then like there's other scenes that almost kind of fall into comedy, like Johnny Shreve is in it, like the fitness influencer. I don't know if you guys know who Johnny Shreve is. He's got like a big, like he's got like a million subscribers on YouTube. He's like one of the big fitness influencers in Nova Scotia. So like
Nova Scotia.
Yeah. So we got him on, and he plays like an addictions counselor that's like working with Buddy's mom like throughout the film. So like we have these kind of cutbacks, but like just the energy in the addiction meeting was just like everybody was like laughing all the time, and like I know it's a really serious thing or whatever, but like
there's comedic elements. Can't help it, really, because you're a comedian, and you made Unreasonable Rob, or co-made. So like it's in, like we can't not be funny, especially him. So like there's gonna be elements in there. You just can't help it. We need to like reel it in, especially when we're on set with like our friends who are actors, and we're all trying to make this thing. They're funny too,
right?
So we gotta be like, you guys, okay, no, we gotta, okay, this is serious.
I get it.
We can't help it.
I watched a show on Netflix, Loudermouth.
Okay. Yes.
And that's about alcoholism, right? And
yeah.
Recovering from that there. That's a comedy. It's a comedy series, right? So it's good to always interpret or add comedy to a situation like that there to make it lighter. So that
Make
it seem like it is serious, but it don't have to be as serious. Maybe help you get over that.
Talk about it without making people feel bad.
Yes, exactly, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to, because something, if it's too heavy, you can feel drained after doing it, right?
Yeah.
That's why you add a little combi in there, and it like kind of lightens it.
Yeah.
Makes it more real, too, in a way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like Johnny's part, like, I got to give away a line of dialogue. I don't
care.
That's
okay. That's fine. Whatever.
So we got this one guy, he plays kind of like, he just pops up like periodically in the film as like just a random like guy that's like in poverty kind of thing. Like it's kind of nebulous, like whether it's from his addiction or not, or if he's just really a ne'er-do-well like kind of character. He's like he's
just not good with money, or like what's going on?
Like he's in the general store, he doesn't have money at the till, and he's asking to front like the jar of beans or whatever. Right? And then anyway, so he's in the addictions meeting, and like he showed up there with like really nice shoes, and I was like, nah, I know you can't like wear. You take your shoes off, man. Like so, he's like barefoot, like in the meeting, and then Johnny goes like, "Does anyone like have anything that they'd like to share like from the past week?" And then like he goes, "Yeah, I lost my shoes, he just goes, my kids are sick." Like it just gets like darker and darker.
Yeah.
And then Johnny just looks at him and goes like, "Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Okay, that's inappropriate.
That's inappropriate.
No, this is a place of love. No war stories."
Yeah. Which there's truth in that, but then it's also funny at the same time. It's okay. Yeah. Can't take yourselves too seriously.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it sounds like you guys are having great fun with it, right? And that's the main thing to do, is to constantly have fun.
For sure.
Yeah, right? It comes across.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds like it's going to be awesome. Can't wait for it. You guys will have a trailer and everything too, right?
Yeah. There's a trailer on the Facebook page and the Instagram.
Yeah, like a little teaser,
stuff. Yeah, there's a teaser out. And I think that we should be like, you know, we have discussions about like how much of the film like we should just drop on social media like as it's going out, like to raise buzz, right? Because like, I mean, for us, like, you know, we've never made a feature film, and like we're new, right, in that sense, and we're making it ourselves as well. So, I feel like the more stuff we put out, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Leanne thinks that we should like not give away too much of this and not give away too much of that, and like.
Right, but I don't know. But we do need more hype. We do need more hype around it because it will just we'll just be in a better position approaching the Atlantic International Film Festival, which we are going to get this in. Like the deadline is fast approaching, but like we will get it in.
Okay. What's the deadline?
Early June.
Yeah, June 14th is like the final, like shit hit the fan deadline.
Like a few months ahead, right?
Right, I mean, and we're still not done filming. There's still a little bit left, and and it's just me and him editing.
Right.
Mostly all him doing all the visual effects. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of work, but like, we can do it. We can hyper focus, and like,
definitely,
going to get it done.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You guys going to premiere or?
Well, we have to talk. We have to see if we get accepted into the festival. So we kind of want to keep like the we don't want to do that until we know whether or not we're going to get into the festival. And then maybe we'll still do it if we get in. Like, we have to figure out like what the rules are around that. Like, are we just showing the film there or is it like premiering there?
Pretty sure it's because it would be September. If that were the case, then the whole world would see it, would be allowed to see it in September.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, summer promotion, basically.
We'll send you guys a Google Drive link.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Man,
I really want to see this.
Oh, sounds
funny. It's amazing.
It sounds fun and funny and serious and scary and.
Yeah.
It's going to be cult classic. It really is.
I like the supernatural feel to
so
it
good.
And everything.
Yes. And how, like, even, like, Buddy's disability, like, at times, like, gives him an advantage in this, like, supernatural realm. So it's like the witch like can take over people's minds, but it's like there's a biological element to it as well through the sound design. So almost like it almost feels like a frog or a toad that like it manipulates the mind of like an insect to draw them in with a frequency. So like there's a lot of like sound design work in the frequencies. Okay. Like the witch starts out with like this budget frog kind of like scream that like turns into like a frequency that really gets into your head, right? And then we like show the how he like takes over the drunk guy's mind basically via this, and then there's another scene that where it shows like the witch trying to do the same thing to Nathan, but like it doesn't work. He just finds it like absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Like, so it just makes the frequency just makes him laugh.
Okay.
So it's like really interesting juxtaposition on like can your like mental illness maybe or like your disability actually be a superpower.
Yeah.
Right. In certain situations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which a lot of people say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's not predictable, this movie.
Definitely don't sound it.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely no, all right.
I want to watch it now.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Yeah. Right on.
Well, yeah, follow the socials because we do post a lot of like behind the scenes and clips and stuff like that. So get a feel for it.
And in the YouTube description of this video here, I'll put all the your guys' links for it. So that people can get, that sounds cool. Now I think that we kind of glossed over Unreasonable Rob a little quick there.
We did,
So I wanted to go back to that, kind of like because I now know the whole process which led to Buddy Wild.
Yes.
So I kind of want to know the whole process that led to that.
Mm-hmm. That led into led to Unreasonable Rob.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Pat and I. Would whenever we were together like before Unreasonable Rob, it was like I have a little bit of a background in comedy, like I used to do like tour with Yuck Yucks and stuff like that, so like
stand-up?
Yeah, I did like quite a bit of stand-up. I did the show at I produced the show at Beerly's like for a couple of years.
Oh, man,
so
I was like some of that.
So I was like writing like new kind of 10-minute like 10 to 15 minute sets.
I gotta say, mad respect, man. I've always wanted to do stand-up, but I'm too much of a chicken shit.
Yeah. It's hard, too.
I know. I just when we're on the show, there's two to three of us, so I'm not the center of attention.
Okay.
So to be up there, like, I could write jokes, but to be up there, just be the one guy that everyone, I'm a chicken.
Scary. It's scary.
But I mean, at the same time, like, you know, you realize your writing's good. Like, you got to have confidence, right? Like, you know what to do if things are going wrong. And like, stand up. I don't do stand up anymore. Like, just I fell out of it. Like, I went back to college, like, after I was doing that. And like, I kind of got reintroduced to comedy in general because I met Pat. Like, we were just joking back and forth, and then, like, he hit me up and he was like, hey, I got this, like, awesome, I got this idea. Like, it's kind of like a meet the parents kind of vibe, but, like, instead of, like, the parents, like, this, like, guy, like, this girl brings her boyfriend home to meet her brother, and her brother is going to be just this, like, absolutely, like, psychopathic, like, prison gay, like, full institutionalized, like, tries to hardcore take advantage of everyone in every situation kind of thing.
Like, terrifying.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, we did the first one, like, a group of us, like, just got together and, like, did the first one, and, like, it just... I wasn't sure, like, it was gonna even work. Like, the way that everything kind of unfolded, because Pat wanted everything to be, like, very improvisational all the time. So, like, we're not slating, we're not doing takes, like, we're just rolling cameras on people. And, like, it's not reality TV, though. Like, it's, like, it's scripted. So it's basically, like, me and Pat scripting the thing in post. So it's like people say like what they're going to say and like act how they're going to act. We like we'll throw out jokes and like hash out things like on set, and then we'll try to cut it into a story in post somehow. Like on the first one, like when we left, we were like, did any of that like even make sense? Like enough that it's going to cut into something that comes across.
You know, some of the stuff that I seen almost gave me almost it, now what you're saying makes sense. Gave me like almost a Saturday Night Live type of feel.
Yeah,
especially where in some of the scenes where I could tell Nathan is trying so hard not to laugh.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, but he doesn't break character. It felt like it. Yeah, it kind of felt like it was alive. Like
yes, like, and a lot of it, like a lot of the like takes are not are like when I'm assured, like I'm saying I'm giving direction. Or, like, nobody thinks that we're filming, right? Yeah. And then we'll cut pieces of, like, Nathan's face, like, when he's doing something or, like, acting nervous or whatever. Like, on the second episode, like, after we cut that first one and we were like, oh, man, okay, like, this is, like, I did the first rough cut and I showed Pat, like, Pat came over and looked at it and he was like, whoa, this is going to turn into something. Like, this is funny, right? And then, like, we did the next one, which was, like, them, like, same concept, like, them at dinner or whatever. And Pat would, like, Pat would go to the bathroom because Pat and Nathan didn't know each other well at the time. So Pat would, like, actually get drunk. And then he'd, like, go into the bathroom and pretend to be doing coke and, like, get, like, make this, like, really tense environment that, like, Nathan really wasn't used to or expecting.
Oh, wow.
What a sin. What a sin. Yeah.
In retrospect, like, it's just so bizarre. But, like, hilarious at the same time. And then eventually they just, like, you know, became really good friends. And, like, I mean, nobody loves Pat like Nathan loves Pat. Like, it's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, we made a bunch of episodes of, like, and then they just kind of kept escalating. The ideas kept escalating. The run times kept escalating. And, like, then it just got to the point where, I guess, Pat was talking to Jason Mosier that was kind of producing content for SwearNet. And they started talking, and then, like, Pat started talking to the people at SwearNet, and then he called me and he was like, hey, like, we're gonna do, like, a whole season of Unreasonable Rob. Like, there's funding behind it. Everybody's gonna get paid, and, like, this is gonna be awesome. And I was like, well, like, okay. And, like, he goes, you don't even have to do anything. Like, all you have to do is, like, be there, and your credit is going to be, like, associate producer, and you and me are just going to, like, hash out jokes on set, and, like, then they'll play them out. You don't even have to, like, write or anything. And then, like, that turned into, like, they needed somebody to have a script, because me and Pat, like, didn't really like writing scripts either way. Like, we just, like, would write something down on paper a little bit, and, like, we'd be like, okay, yeah, that joke's good, that one's got to go in there. And then the concept, obviously, like, with the, like, to decide on a location and that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, the actual dialogue would be almost entirely improvised. Like, the idea for the joke would be there, but, like, the dialogue would be improvisational. And then that actually turned into like somebody else writing the script. And then Pat looked at the script and was like, this is the worst thing I've ever like conceivably seen. It's so bad. We can't use any of this whatsoever. Like, this is going to like literally ruin our lives.
Yeah.
And then so I like ended up like writing, like typing out, like looking up like, okay, like how do I like fucking format a script and shit? Like I was like looking up like, and in like the space of like a week, I wrote the scripts for like the episodes, like based on like the scrawls that we had, like, and our messages and stuff.
Man. Awesome.
Nice.
Now, one common theme I see in all three of the projects that I know that you guys do, and that's Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
How did he come on board? How did he become your guys' like mainstay?
Okay, so, well, basically, like, how I met Nathan is, he went to, like, film school. Like, I think Nathan's probably the only person that's, like, connected to us in, like, any way that, like, went to film school. Yeah. So, like, he went to film school and was, like, looking to try to, be a videographer, essentially, like, because I guess that's, like, the route that, like, a lot of film school people would go, is just, like, make money by way of freelancing with videography. So he got connected with me, and I started bringing him along, like, on shoots, like, as, like, a helper, like, kind of thing. Like, I took him to a wedding and, like, different things, and he was just, like, a nervous, like, he's young, right? Like, and just really nervous, right? And like I had him along with me when I was doing like a music video, and I can't remember if it was like a music video for Pat or somebody else's music video, and me and Pat were there, but like right away the dynamic like between him and Pat was like freaking hilarious, and like Pat knew it too, so that was kind of how we linked up with Nathan for the role. Like, I had only really hung out with Nathan like a handful of times before Unreasonable Rob. So, but I knew that he was like really interested in the film industry, and now he's like so into his acting, and like it's really cool like to see how far Nathan has come, like in his acting. Like, he takes it like maybe more seriously than like anybody I know.
Is there other things outside of the three that he does did with you guys that he's doing?
Yeah, he's done other things. Yeah, for sure. He like does like all auditions, and like he's been like in a few different TV shows and documentaries. Like, okay. I couldn't quite list them all, but he's in that other one like now as like I can't remember what it's called now, but it's got Rob Wells in it, like from the Trailer Park Boys and stuff. And Nathan is like security guard or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's also like just done this short film with our other buddy Kyle. They made a short film called Ark of Noah, like for the CBC Face Off.
Yeah.
So I was on set like for a couple of days of that one, like just hanging out.
I feel like I heard of that before, Ark of Noah.
Oh, they've been going posting hard it a lot on social media.
So you would have probably seen it online, maybe. But
and they go hard on social media too. Like Kyle and
they're
Nathan
good with promotion.
Nathan is a phenom with how he can build Facebook groups. Like, I can't. Like, Nathan, like one time, like he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna like make a Facebook group like called like he would just make Facebook groups. Like, this was like years ago. I was like, "Man, okay, cool, right?" And he made this one called like Haunted Nova Scotia, or like something like that.
I was in that. There's tens of thousands.
Nathan's running groups with tens of thousands of people in them, like moderating them and shit. So, and it's like, it's crazy.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's nice to see him progress. And because I first met Nathan on set of episode one of the pilot season of Unreasonable Rob, where I was one of the construction worker ladies.
And so
I met him there that cold day when he's wearing those little shorts, like twerking on us, and we had to be like, woo. So that's when I met him. So it's cool to see from that point up until now working with him, acting with him and directing him in Buddy Wild. It's really cool to see. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah,
I felt so bad for him.
That was so funny. When he looks back at the numbers going up on the gas pump, it was one of my favorite parts of anything ever. He was so nervous. He's like, okay, are you, is it done yet?
As
like,
the gas is just rolling.
So nervous. Oh my God, I loved that. I loved it. Yeah.
back to Unreasonable Rob, I want to ask, I've seen all the YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
And so would you call that a preseason? Or how different is it from what's on SwearNet?
Well, I mean, it's kind of sad because, there are some of the original ideas are replayed in the first season, because originally Pat was like, can't we just put the ones that we did on SwearNet then and take them down off of YouTube?
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was some kind of detail with the funding or whatever, but we had to they had to be completely new episodes. So it was okay, well, I guess we somehow have to reestablish the first meeting of Rob and Brett, who's Nathan's character. Mm-hmm. So we basically yeah, it's different. There's a different location and the dialogue is different. There's new jokes that are introduced, but the concept of that episode is still very much the same.
Okay.
As the YouTube ones. And the idea was that once we got that out of the way, he already had season two, an agreement in the agreement was already made for season two. So, basically, we were planning on just taking, amplifying, the jokes, from season one, after we reestablished everything, and then just taking it to the next level on season two, and we had already even done some of the writing, and so, I mean, Pat and I, when we were editing season one, even, we would just sit in this office, all day and all night, every day,
I brought your fruit tray once.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you were in there all day and all night. So I was like, you guys need to eat some fruit and vegetables.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But I mean, that's how he was, right? Yeah. He was just go, 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 go. And he was hugely influential, to me, in terms of how I approach making video, making, I guess, content and that work ethic and just the attitude towards art. He was just so one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
Phenom.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, and so funny. Yeah. Having a background in comedy, even just some of the stuff that would happen when we were editing, we were editing on in this office that was on Quinpool, and so we would just kind of take turns walking down to this Quinpool superstore there and getting stuff to eat or whatever, right? And then just bringing it back and just keep on cutting and hashing out the jokes on the edit. And one time he came back with these protein bites or whatever, right? And I'm working on the edit and he's just sitting there eating these protein bites, and then he just slaps me in the arm and he's like, man, you ever buy that shit that has the 50% off stickers on it, like it's going bad or something? And I was like, yeah, all the time, of course, if I could buy everything 50% off, I would, right? Yeah. It's not bad, it's still ready to go. He's like, man, I don't know, this stuff just tastes, these protein bites taste weird, right? And I was like really? And he's like, yeah, try one of these, and I ate it, and I was like whoa, yeah, no, that's bad. Something's not right. Something's not right about that. And I looked at the bag, and it was for dogs.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
The 50% off sticker was obscuring the picture of a dog.
Oh wow!
That he just grabbed the protein bites out of a discount cart.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Someone named dog protein bites.
Damn. Yeah. Did it have good protein content though? Was it really that bad?
Guaranteed. Real good protein.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know that dogs had protein. Yeah. That for the dogs that lift?
For the dogs that what?
Hit the gym and
yeah.
Sort of Roddy's and
Pitbull. Oh
yeah.
That's, he was eating Pitbull bites. That's shit. Funny, man.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, then we were just having a really good time editing all the scenes together and
Man, tasting your mouth.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And just putting like the sound design and like, cause we did everything on the edit, like right from curating and then like going in and like, cause the sound design was often where the comedy is coming from. Right. Like, so we'd just spend so much time like either creating sound or looking up what sound would be funniest on this punchline or whatever. And there was a dynamic like in how we were editing together. So when we were like, we weren't, when like he passed away, like we weren't finished. So like it was literally like on like the end of the week, like I had to shoot a wedding, so that I had booked like 2 years before. And so I went to like shoot the wedding, and like he was going to attend a wedding, and then we were going to link back up on the Monday, and then everything kind of just like, my life just sort of changed forever.
Yep.
And
I feel like a lot of us, it's like, well, our whole world was changed. Like it, like I felt like, oh well, there goes a lot of my dreams. Really, that's how I felt. Like a lot of my dreams were then dead. Mm-hmm. Like they were gone. They were done, because I was like, yeah, like where's the? It's just all gone. That's how I felt too, along with him too, of course. But right. That's how I felt. I was like, well, this is, that's it. That's the end. No more Unreasonable Rob. No more creativity. No more nothing. That's how it felt for me, at least. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really difficult situation, because like the same, I was like even thinking like, can I do this? Mm. Like, can I like finish editing this? Like just sitting by myself
for real.
When it's like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, definitely. Get it,
how
right?
You did that. But like you have to.
Yeah.
You gotta keep going. Yeah.
See, a lot of people get caught up so much in the grief that they forget about the tools that people that were close to them or loved ones that were close to them, they gave them to continue life, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the only bad thing. We get caught so much up into the grief, which we should, right? Because everyone needs that chance to grieve, right? But then you gotta remember what tools they gave you before they left.
Yes.
To help you with life, right? So
true. And he gave a lot to a lot of us.
A lot, right?
Yeah, so for real.
Not only through like film, through music, through just everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yep, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally understand. Mm. I think I lost my dad around the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Is that right?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that's kind of what sprung boarded.
Here he goes. He's making up words again, y'all.
What, springboarded?
I know.
Better, sprungboard or springboarded?
Right? I know what you're saying. Launched. What launched?
There we go. Launched.
No spring involved.
Yeah, there you go. The spring in the launcher. Anyways, that's kind of what got me to launch the podcast and doing all this is like just because my father always supported me in everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, after he passed, going through his stuff, he had like the cassette tape from my first single I ever did.
Wow.
Like from way back.
Wow.
And he used to watch all my food videos, and every time I visited him, he'd always tease me with the John Kizzy Izzy and it's just like, and I had this idea, and I think I had it like, yeah, it was before that, and I talked to him about it. He's like, yeah, you guys could do something like that, whatever. And then it just gave me, like you said, you get caught in the grief for a while. Yeah. You're just like in a rut.
Yeah.
And then you just think, then I just started doing things that, you know, he would enjoy or make him proud.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. What would he want me to do right now?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And that's how we hear, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I guess kind of ties into that, because your guys' production company, I guess, was
Death Horse.
Yeah, Death Horse was kind of linked into him.
Yeah. So we thought of that during the 48-hour thing, right?
That's right. Yeah, it was, because we needed to come up with with a name for our group to submit the 48-hour film. Mm-hmm. And we're like, Death Horse.
Just as a nod to Pat.
Yes, because that was Pat's character's band's name in Unreasonable Rob.
Yeah, okay.
And didn't Pat just come up with that randomly? Like, what's a band name?
How did that go? Okay, so what happened was, like, Pat was like, we're on set, and Pat was like, What's the name of, like, a really, like, stupid, like metal band or something that, like, doesn't exist, right? So we're trying to think of, like, a metal band name that's, like, not real, so we're not actually mentioning a band. Mm-hmm. And we were all, like, kind of, like, throwing out ideas. And actually, I should mention that, like, Colin Canning was there with us. He's he's art department now on that show From. That's like shot here.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like he's also a creative genius and like an artistic genius. And I wish we still worked together. I wish we worked together like more. Like we worked together a few times, mm-hmm. like on a couple productions. But yeah, like I miss him dearly, Colin. Like I know you he works a lot or whatever, but like yeah, it'd be cool to like have him like come and be like on as a part of Buddy Wild before we were done filming would be freaking awesome. But like yeah, him and me and Pat were like throwing out ideas, and it was actually him that threw out Death Horse.
Oh, cool.
And then when he threw out Death Horse, me and Pat were just like, that is so funny. Like we were just it was just the vibe, and like we were like laughing, and then so that's where that name came from, where like Pat's on the couch, he's like, oh yeah, you play guitar, like you're in a band, and like he's like, yeah, I play the guitar, and then Pat's like, yeah, I was in a band too, yeah, local band Death Horse.
Yeah.
And, you probably then he like super threatening, he's like, yeah, you probably heard of us. And then like Nathan's like, yeah, it sounds familiar. Oh, really? Because I made it up on the spot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, Death Horse would be our production company that we're eventually going to make so that we can keep making movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And keep making projects to be under that name. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so just kind of like a nod to him. And then, you know, if it ever were to like really blow up, like, you know, we'd like to leave like a share of the company, mm-hmm. like to his legacy and his family and all that stuff. Cause nice, I mean, nice. A lot of like my style and how I make videos, those types of videos and any narrative, like directing, like anytime I'm directing action or I'm like working with actors or like a lot of that, like is influenced like by how I saw Pat interact with people.
Mm-hmm. Now at the end of 17 Bricks, it had the little logo for Death Horse. Is that a placeholder? Or is that your guys's
placeholder?
Yeah, placeholder. Right. We're gonna make a better. We'll have to make a better logo. I'm sure.
That horse looked kind of fabulous, like Maybelline almost.
Right. Yeah, didn't he have like beautiful hair, like swooped around, right? Yeah, that's right.
Like,
yeah,
the dude on there, I was like.
Yeah, no, it's going to be something a little bit more epic, I think, with a better vibe to it.
Yeah, Kyle actually sent me like. 20
a few mock-ups. Yeah, exactly.
He sent me like 20 or 30, like he's like, hey, I graphic designed these like Death Horse logos, like I'm gonna go back and like look at them.
Yeah, we should, because some of them were really good. So
some of them were good.
Yeah, you guys got to patent it, right?
What's that?
You guys got that name patented, right? Because
we're gonna have to soon.
Before this comes out.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh man,
you never know, right? So
it's true,
it's a good name.
Yeah,
it is.
So band over in China or Japan or something, like, they stole our name. So.
That's right.
Yeah, a Chinese metal band.
You never know. We gotta look that up on Spotify now. The drive home, like let's guarantee
we went deep. Like,
Nice.
Chinese metal band.
Nice. There's a few of them.
We'd have to collab. We'd have no choice.
For sure. We'd have to fly them out along with the demon ladies from BC. Like, just come to the premiere with us.
Yeah.
Skype.
Yeah, hey, like, we're from Canada. Like, there's this witch, and long story short, we need you.
We need you.
Oh, I remember a couple episodes we were talking about how, I think it was more of a joke how Canada should build a wall to keep Americans out.
Yeah.
Let's just let them know that we got witches in the woods, man. That'll keep them down there.
Yeah.
Eating deer. Dead deer.
Yeah. Spooky ladies in the woods.
No, because I shouldn't say this, but that's going to bring the hillbillies up here so they can see what's going on.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? They'll be after the witches.
They've been trying to put a ring on it.
It'll be a giant witch hunt. They'll be like, wait, a witch? Yeah. That's illegal! Yeah. Well,
maybe I'll be up here, torches in hand and shit.
Yeah. Oh, one of Leanne's ancestors.
Yeah.
Funny enough.
I know. Yeah, I was doing my ancestry. Of witchcraft. When I did my ancestry in Massachusetts. Yeah.
So they everything like burned or thrown in the water?
She was imprisoned for for some other misdemeanor, and then for practicing witchcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the 1700s, I want to say?
1600s?
1600s? Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty nuts to look back on. It's like, oh, so I guess I have a little bit of that in my DNA, history. I know it's
crazy. Crazy accusing people is... That's the ultimate hater right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, my Lord.
You just get heard, you know, praying, doing your prayers one night, and they think you're doing witchcraft.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right? So, yeah. Or anything. Or like, oh, you made a concoction, and someone doesn't have a cold anymore.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Right. So you just be petty.
Probably should
just
burn you alive.
At somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. Are people just like kind of like being like snitchy on each other and be like, yeah,
you're petty.
Like.
Yeah.
Think about our upbringing. How many of our older aunts and uncles and grandmothers and stuff be like, okay, you need to take turpentine, lemon, honey, put them together, get rid of your cold.
Yeah,
consider witchcraft back in the day.
Right. You know
what I mean? We wouldn't be here because they'd be all dead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
I know. It is. It really is.
Yeah, if you look back in the world, all the crazy things that we've been through us. Yeah. After time, I'm like, how are we still alive? How is there still a...
It's crazy.
Right? Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Our DNA is made up of all the humans who have... made it through wars and made it through all these other hardships throughout the span of human history. Yep. And the fact that we are here right now is huge. It's like a miracle almost that we're able to.
And the fact that like weapons have been around now that can blow up the entire planet and they have been around for like 50 or 60 years. So it's like, is it really possible that like all the time, like you would just never be used? Like that somebody crazy enough will never come along?
Man.
Yeah.
It's come.
Yeah,
I know, but we're here now,
yeah.
And that's all that matters. Yeah, we're here.
I don't
now.
Think we're going to see it, but it's going to happen. I think.
Yeah,
we're going to have it's that good. One person that's too loose.
I know.
Yeah,
hit that red button as they call it.
For sure.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, probably be a certain orange dude.
Or somebody that's just losing a war and they're just like crazy, like ideologically, like suicidal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. You gotta think about it. What if it was someone that's in power and they get diagnosed with like some terminal and they got
100%.
Then they just don't even freaking care.
What? Yeah. All the world leaders are in their 80s all of a sudden. It's like, well, this isn't good.
I'm sorry. The reason I bring up the Death Horse, I almost said Dark Horse.
Yeah.
No, Death Horse is much better.
Dark Horse is copyrighted for sure.
Yeah, that's a comic book. Actually,
Dark Horse.
Yeah,
it sounds familiar. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it is a comic book company.
I believe so.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
I know. I've heard it before.
Yeah,
might actually be a movie production as well.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
Yeah,
that sounds familiar. Yeah. Damn, I don't know.
You'll have to check it out.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll look it up later. Well, we got someone that's supposed to be looking up shit for us. So.
I know. I'm saying in my ear.
I don't know if he's awake right now after eating that big ass sub. So.
So I did want to ask, do you have any plans for the future yet? Like next projects?
Oh, yeah.
My question.
Oh, yeah. We do. We don't really know. We have elements that we want to make into our next feature-length film, which is going to be another feature.
Yeah.
There's elements. There's things I want to do. I was like, I want to be this. So we'll just write a story around it.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of different elements. Like, sometimes I'll get an idea. Like, I'll be like, hey, this would be, like, a perfect line of dialogue, or this would be, like, an interesting scene.
So I've been writing them down.
She's been keeping them, keeping track of them so that we can get the writing done, like, quite quickly. But the project is going to be called Electric Squalls.
Yeah.
And it's... kind of like the, you know, Nathan's character in 17 Bricks, who's just this like really goofy kung fu detective kind of thing. We're going to bring that character back. Into like a feature project where everything is like 3D environments and like it's very neon and like sci-fi and synth wave, vapor wave.
Yeah. Vibe. Yeah. Like totally. I was like, I want to wear spandex. I want to wear like a full suit of like neon spandex, and I want to like kill guys, you know. I want to like karate. I want to be badass and
wear spandex. You're trying to do a Kill Bill but wearing spandex.
I mean, yeah, but like more in a more cool 80s synth wave way.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like with Electric Squalls too, we're going to like fall back more into comedy. But it's still going to be really like weird, like very, very weird. Yeah. But like...
with a lot of fighting. Because I want to fight.
There's a lot of fighting.
I want to fight and wear spandex. But yeah, there, it's going to be funny. It's definitely...
Electric Squalls?
Type. Yeah.
Electric Squalls.
Yeah.
See, this is what tells you about how we grew up. Every time you said electric,
yeah,
my mind, before you said squalls, said slide. And I was waiting for movie to be...
yes, yes.
Okay, we got to have somebody doing electric slides in it.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah. Every time Nathan like shows up to like make arrests.
Yes. Crash Zoom, electric slide.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys ever do a Canadian version of Shaft, could you give me a call?
Okay.
100%.
I'll be... I said Canadian Shaft.
You stood still. No.
Like... I don't even know what a different word for a shaft is.
Well,
call him. I don't know.
Shut your mouth.
There's a few other words for shaft. But
it's like we just subtly changed the whole script. It's the same movie, but we cast him and call it Colin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Colin. Wow.
Bad mother.
Oh, man.
Well, you couldn't say shut your mouth because we're Canadian. We're more polite.
Yeah,
polite.
You'd be like,
please.
Yeah, right? Or, but like more East Coast. I don't know what that would be.
Hey, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
You start with me at the donair shop because it's East Coast.
Just start with me,
One of the many Italian Lebanese pizza shops that we have.
Yeah. In the show that I'm a badass character, I'd be upset. I said more sauce.
Exactly.
See, Shaft don't have to ask for more sauce. They just automatically give him. See, told you, you ain't Shaft.
I'm calling.
Exactly.
Shaft just gives a look. He don't say nothing.
I'm calling.
Yeah, like his parents named him Colin. Literally his name.
And I've always wanted to do that thing with the trench coat when you just flip it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the wind.
Oh, so like turn around and like leave? Yeah.
So you must be uncle then.
I don't know.
Because they already got Shaft the original. Then they got Junior. Then they got Junior.
I'm the Canadian cousin. Call him.
He sounds like he'd be so boring. I don't know why. It sounds like so boring. I don't know. Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We just eat donairs, talk about moose sightings.
Yeah, moose sightings. I mean, that's more new plans.
I thought you were going to say the moose heads.
Yeah,
just so into hockey.
It's like a huge hockey fan.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
I'm like the only Canadian that doesn't even like hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a huge hockey fan.
Yeah,
Cool.
But no, it sounds good. Nice. Got a lot of ambition for this here, obviously. Right? Yeah. A lot new ideas on the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And once we get this project finished, of course. Right? Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't want to stop. We're not going to stop.
No. Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good. Right.
Yeah. The challenge is making it by the submission deadline so that hopefully we can get accepted into the Atlantic Film Festival. And I know that that's a big challenge in itself. Like, we're like moving forward and at this rate, like with how we've kind of calculated things, like we should be finished. Hopefully we're finished and we're happy with every aspect of it. And then from there, hopefully we get accepted into the festival, because I've never had a feature film accepted into a festival. I don't know how, like, what the dynamic of that is going to be, if it's even going to be.
Well, we're going to find out, because we're going to get
find
accepted.
Out. Yeah, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Like, positive vibes, right?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, we're going to speak it into the universe. We're going to keep, like, doing, like, going on podcasts like this. Mm-hmm. Like, super grateful that you guys had us on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kind of, like, spread the message.
You guys could come, right?
So yes,
hopefully the Atlantic Film Festival people will see it, and they'll be like, wow, like, maybe we're interested in that movie already.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. Because our hearts are in it. Like, this is it. Like, this makes me feel the most alive. So that's I'm not going to stop.
Yep. Well, that's good.
That's
real good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we got for this episode. This is awesome. Glad you guys
did. Shit.
This is a great one.
It was awesome. Nice meeting you for the first time.
Yes.
Nice seeing you again.
Yes, of course.
And hope to have you back. Any other projects that are coming up? Feel free to come on by.
Right on. Yeah. We'd love to.
Well, more so of the. Once they get accepted to the Atlantic Film Festival, they can come back again and tell us what their experience was after that.
Yeah.
Revolving door for y'all, man. You're always
awesome. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything up and new coming, let us know. Come on.
Let us know. Phenomenal. Yeah. Thank you.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. Like, keep bringing local voices out. Yes. That's yes. great. I love that you guys yeah. are doing yes. that.
And right. any other local voices that are watching right now, mm-hmm. hey.
We started the podcast.
Come sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. Little Witchy, get in here.
Yeah, yeah. For real.
No.
Yeah.
Get Nathan up here, too.
Get Nathan up here.
Oh, yeah. You guys got to have Nathan on for sure. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the witch OBC. No.
No.
Oh, yeah, no. Little Witchy, the artist. That's the artist. He's cool.
Production office with
the artist. We said Skype. Oh. Yeah. You can sit next to Lewis. Yeah. Chef Lou in the other room.
Chef Lou will handle that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, not the BC. The BC crazy ladies.
We'll provide the deers.
Okay. Nova Scotia deers.
Shit, I almost hit one today.
Oh, wow.
On my street.
I always got four in my yard all the time.
I know you do. Oh, wow. Yeah, whole family sitting in this yard.
Aww.
Wow.
If I look out my window one day and there's a lady out there eating one of them, I don't know where I'm running. I'm in the house.
You're on camera.
There'll be nothing I can do about it.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
I guess I'm, yeah. We need to run when you're home.
Yeah, we bring her to the film festival. She doesn't leave. She's like, there's way more deer. Yeah, you mean I can live in an apartment in downtown Dartmouth and there's still deer?
Yeah. Shit. That is true.
Live and large.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Like, I got one of the busiest streets in Halifax and there was a deer going across the road.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Like, you're right. There are so many deer. There you wouldn't is. Leave.
Right. Yeah.
It's the promised land.
Yeah.
Deer for everyone.
Yeah. Delish.
Oh shit. Which if you're watching, we're just laughing with you, not
We do not want to offend you. We don't know what you were doing out in the woods. We respect anything you want to eat in the woods in your underwear. It's okay.
They be nice. Say no to drugs. Okay.
For real. Yeah.
Say no to drugs.
It's true.
Shit.
Yeah.
All right. I know I said this all right.
Yeah.
Twice before, but we'll end it for sure now. John Gizzy, you know who is he? A.K.A. Philly G. They know who I be. And I'm here with King Tigger.
The King of Kings.
Leanne Milne.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Sawatsky.
There you go.
Yeah.
First try to look at that.
Got it. Yeah.
Then I said that.
We had best that he was going to fuck up.
I know. I got it right at the first. And I said, by the end, I was going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
No, you didn't.
All right.
You're good.
So we're out. Peace.
Yeah. See ya.